You're listening to another old-time radio classic on the Boxcars 7-Eleven. Old-time radio pod, where the oldies are still young.
Now, Mr. Vincent Price on the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Bromo Seltzer presents Hollywood Star Playhouse, tales of suspense, thrills, adventure by Hollywood's finest writers with Hollywood's top stars. Portions of this program are transcribed, and it's brought to you by Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help which reminds you to
fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Herbert Rawlinson. Welcome to the Bromo Seltzer Hollywood Star Playhouse. Crime paid, and paid exceedingly well for Bart Willard. But he was no ordinary crook. He was a virtuoso. Tonight, Mr. Vincent Price will take you on an amazing adventure in crime as he portrays for you the incomparable Bart Willard in Calculated Risk.
When a general sets out to win a war, he has to take certain chances, what he calls calculated risks. It's the same with a man who sets out to steal $1 million on his wedding day.
Bullet, you're kidding.
Am I?
Hold up the Hyperion payroll service? Why, it's never been done.
It's never been tried.
Yeah, and you know why. That place is built like a fort. It'd take an army to get inside
it. It will take two men, Ames. Reading from left to right, us.
You and me hold up the Hyperion payroll service? You've been bumped on the head lately?
I never get bumped on the head or anywhere else, because I use my head to plan things. Plan them so carefully, so thoroughly, so accurately, that I've never yet pulled a job that ended in complications.
Yeah, but a job like this...
Then your answer is no?
Well, how'd you ever happen to pick me out, Willard?
Because you're an A1 electrician.
What's my being an electrician got to do with it?
I don't think we ought to go into that, unless and until you make up your mind that you want in on the $1 million.
Million? Even a Hyperion never has that much on hand.
It will have on the 31st. A nice round million in cash.
$1 million smackers. What kind of split?
Well, when a man is dividing $1 million, he can afford to be generous. How about 50-50?
500,000. It's crazy. Well, the craziest thing I ever heard of. But you might get away with it.
What do you mean, might?
Okay, count me in.
Good. Now then, Ames, you're never to come to see me. You're never to so much as call me. I'll contact you at my own discretion. You got that?
Hey, But wait a minute.
Yes?
You haven't told me yet why you need an electrician.
Why, to set off the burglar alarm at the Hyperion payroll service.
To set off the... what?
I had led Ames to believe that he was the only other person necessary to my plan. Technically, this was not correct. There were others who were destined to play an important part, particularly the woman I loved. Aren't you always? Karen, I believe you'd be late at your own wedding.
Is that a proposal?
It is.
Well, stop the car, you oaf, so I can accept. And I will not be late at my own wedding.
Oh, yes, you will, but you're worth waiting for.
Bart, you say that. nicest.
I'm the nicest guy. But I shouldn't be blocking traffic.
Got a cigarette?
Yeah, you know I don't smoke.
You know I do.
Yes, and I also know that you're always out of cigarettes. Here.
You're going to make a perfect husband, Bart. Light?
You could at least bring matches. Press that knob.
Oh. How long does it take?
For the car lighter?
No, silly, to get a license.
3 days. Here's your light.
Thanks. We could go to Yuma.
Karen, my sweet, we're not getting married until the 31st.
Hey, that's a whole week off.
It has to be the 31st, Karen, for sentimental reasons.
Oh. Well, we'll make it a morning wedding. I always say...
No, Karen, an afternoon wedding. 4 o'clock on the afternoon of the 31st.
For sentimental reasons?
Yes. A million of them. I didn't really intend for the wedding ceremony to be held at 4 o'clock on the afternoon of the 31st. 4 o'clock was when I would be robbing the Hyperion payroll service of $1 million. That seeming discrepancy was one of my calculated risks. Just one of them.
I don't know. Well, the more I think...
You're
of...
not supposed to think, Ames. That's my function.
Yeah, I know. I know. But the more I... Well, at least we ought to have a few others in with us, eh?
And that would only make the risk larger and the split smaller.
But couldn't we have one more?
Meaning Eddie Cove?
Yeah. Eddie's pulled some big jobs, and now that he's out of stir again...
Yeah, he'd be the number one suspect.
What?
Ames, when a man who has pulled some big jobs returns to the scene of his operations... The police are bound to think of him first when a project like ours unfolds.
Hey, that's right. We better forget about Eddie.
Not entirely.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Ames, you're simply going to have to leave details to me. Now, let's review the modus operandi. Hmm?
Oh, you and your college education. Well... First of all, I got to set off that burglar alarm.
At precisely 3:30. Now, that part should be simple enough for you.
Yeah, that part, but what...
One point at a time. Now, after the excitement at the Hyperion payroll service has died down over the false alarm, a call will go out to the burglar alarm company. Result? Two electricians will be dispatched to repair the system at the Hyperion. These two electricians will be wearing overalls with the company insignia and will be carrying company identification cards.
Identification cards. I didn't even think of that.
I did. And I already have reasonable facsimiles of such cards bearing reasonable facsimiles of our faces as they will be made up for that occasion.
Makeup, eh? No way you're wearing masks?
Masks, my dear Ames, are old-fashioned, obsolete, archaic. Such techniques are for amateurs.
Well...
And for the professional, the man who makes an art of his trade, there are ways to change the... color of one's eyes, the tilt of one's nose. Don't worry, our makeup will be most effective.
Yeah, well, let's see, where were we?
With the two electricians. Now then, as they drive out of the company garage, they will be unaware of the fact that I'm hiding in the back of their panel truck. But as they cut through the park en route to the Hyperion plant, I shall reveal myself and take over.
Well, what are you going to do with them two?
Don't be squeamish.
Oh... You don't stop at nothing, do you?
Not at anything I consider necessary. But to go on. I will pick you up at the farthest side of the park, and you will crawl into the back of the truck and put on the coveralls. We shall arrive at the Hyperion plant, be admitted into the garage entrance, and then, just as the shift changes at 4 o'clock, be welcomed into the stronghold itself.
Yeah. And what do we do then?
Why, steal the $1 million. I was incredibly busy during those last few days, but I managed to be seen frequently in public with Karen, and even on one occasion to join her in dining with her next of kin, Uncle John. To everyone but Karen, and now me, of course, Uncle John was known as Captain Dorsey, head of the robbery detail at police headquarters.
Well, I don't suppose it's been any secret to you, Willard, that I tried my best to put a damper on this romance.
Well, I assure you, Uncle John, I shall never let that stand between us.
Well, when a man has been under suspicion in the past and has no visible means of support in the present...
Uncle John, you are slandering the man I love. And after he's been good enough to want you with the wedding.
Yes, I know. I'm just a suspicious old... Karen, I wish I could make it at that.
Hey, what do you mean you wish you could make it? Who's going to give me away?
But an afternoon wedding. And in the middle of the week. Honey, I'm sorry.
A fine relative you turned out to be. You'd rather be out arresting people.
But, Karen, I've got a responsibility.
Well, what about your responsibility to me? Bart said it would be like this.
Oh, I did, eh?
Well, I meant to...
I know what you meant. Well, all right, Karen. I'll be there.
That's better. And before I forget, you're to stop by and take me to the chapel.
Well, why doesn't he?
Oh, you know the old taboo about the bridegroom seeing the bride before the ceremony? Yeah, but if it's too much trouble,
Silliest thing I ever heard of, but... Well, all right.
Then I almost forgive you. Now, everything's all set.
Yes. And I'll be waiting for the two of you outside the chapel at 4:00. Karen would be late, of course. And so Uncle John would have no way of knowing that I hadn't been there at the chapel waiting for them at 4:00. And since Uncle John was head of the robbery detail at police headquarters... Admittedly, there was the chance that Karen and her uncle wouldn't be late enough, or even late at all. But again, that was one of my calculated risks. And as of 4:00 on the afternoon of the 31st, I was supremely confident that all would be well. Everything, as the generals say, was proceeding according to plan.
Yeah, the other shift was wondering what happened to you guys.
Heavy traffic.
Yeah, heavy traffic.
Oh, yeah, ain't it a crime? Why, when I was coming to
work... Hey, you.
Me?
Both of you guys. You're new with the outfit, huh?
So what if we are?
Nothing. Just part of my job to ask questions.
Yeah, but we already checked our identifications. Don't mind Joe, he's okay, except he's always acting like something's going to happen.
Well, how do you know it won't?
Look, Joe, when you've been here as many years as I
have... Well, we better get to work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know the layout?
Oh, sure.
Hey, stop.
What's the matter now?
Call your office.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to call your office. They phoned a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, we'll do it later.
They said right away. And I think you better.
Now, look, Joe, if they want to call later...
No, maybe he's right. Where's the phone I can use?
Well, that one right on the desk there.
Come to think of it, I'd rather use this.
Huh?
So I was right.
But you're wrong. If you think you can do anything about it, I'm right behind you, see?
Well, you guys are nuts if you think you can get away with this.
Shut up, Joe. Don't try anything, Joe.
Good advice, Joe. Try anything and you're dead. Now then, listen carefully. The rest was elemental. When two men have guns in their backs, they cooperate, and so do their fellow workers. In a gratifyingly short time, the money was out of the vault, and the men assigned to guard it were in. Total elapsed time for the $1 million robbery of the Hyperion Payroll Service? 11 minutes.
Not so fast, Ames. It wouldn't do to get a ticket now for speeding.
Okay. You're almost done back there.
Almost.
Hey, Willard, now that the job's finished, what was that crack you made the first time we talked, you know, about Eddie Cole?
Oh, I contrived to have him off on a wild goose chase this afternoon.
What for?
Obviously so that he won't have an alibi when he's accused of the Hyperion job.
No. You don't stop at nothing, do you?
As you've remarked before.
Behold, the bridegroom emerges.
Yeah, hold up for your wedding. Well, when do we divvy up?
That's a timely question. Hey, look, turn into this clump of trees.
Now, isn't that your car parked over there?
Correct. Pull up beside it. Now, Ames, comes the final reckoning.
Yeah, 500 G's.
I'm already 18 minutes late for my wedding. I have to rush this.
Yeah, well...
Remember, Ames, my saying that the fewer who knew about this job, the greater the split and the smaller the risk?
Well, it's only... No, well... No. You wouldn't...
I don't stop at anything, remember? Sorry, Ames. It's a risk... You should have calculated.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast, effective headache help, is bringing you Hollywood Star Playhouse. Tonight, starring Mr. Vincent Price in Calculated Risk.
Fight, Teddy! Three ways! Promise out to promise out to promise out to promise out to promise.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? How do you do? This is your old friend Norman Brokenshire. You know, I wouldn't ask anybody to do anything I wouldn't do myself. That's why I'd like you to try Bromo Seltzer the next time you get a headache. I want you to find out for yourself just how fast and how effective it is in helping your headache all three ways. Yes, most headaches are caused by an upset stomach, too much stomach acidity. When this happens, your nerves become jumpy and jangled too. Well, the very second you add water to Bromo Seltzer, it fizzes and sparkles, ready to go right to work on the pain of that headache. Bromo Seltzer soothes your upset stomach by neutralizing that excess stomach acidity, and it calms those jittery, jangled nerves. That's how Bromo Seltzer does its wonderful three-way job. Try it the next time you get a headache. For best results, use cold water. Follow the label, avoid excessive use. But don't wait until a headache strikes. Get Bromo Seltzer at any drugstore. Keep it handy always. Yes, when you get a headache, remember to take
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Now, Act Two of Calculated Risk, starring Mr. Vincent Price.
Putting a bullet into my associate Ames was one of the least palatable aspects of the million-dollar robbery of the Hyperion payroll service. But now that this was done, everything was taken care of. If only Karen and Uncle John were late enough for the wedding. I stopped at the first drugstore and phoned Karen's apartment. The time? 4:23. To a girl as incurably tardy as Karen, 23 minutes was nothing. Surely she couldn't have left already. Or had my repeated remarks that she'd be late for her own wedding had a reverse psychology? Or had Uncle John, the ever-punctual Captain Dorsey, head of the police robbery detail, managed by some irony of fate to get her off to the wedding on time? As I drove up, they weren't waiting outside the chapel, nor was Uncle John's car in the lot reserved for wedding parties. It could only mean that they had given up waiting for me, probably been calling my apartment from 4 o'clock on, and then left with Karen in tears and Uncle John in high dudgeon. Now I was totally devoid of any kind of alibi. And as soon as Uncle John delved into the Hyperion holdup, I was inside the chapel about to press the little bell that would summon the minister from the rectory when panic seized me. What was I waiting for? The $1 million was in the luggage compartment of my car. The thing to do was jump into that car and head for a hideout. Yes, that was it.
Bart Willard.
Karen.
Where do you think you're going?
Well, I...
how many times have you told me I'd be late for my wedding? Well, I just couldn't start our marriage off by making you out a liar.
But I called your apartment and no one answered. Something happened on the way?
Certainly did. You know Karen. As if it wasn't bad enough that we were late getting started, what does she do but run out of cigarettes?
Of course.
And by the time I parked, went into a drugstore...
You knew I was this way when you fell in love with me, Bart. Now, don't tell me you'd want to change me.
My sweet, not for $1 million. It wasn't until the ceremony was over and I had given Uncle John $100 of the Hyperion payroll service's money with which to pay the minister that the call for him finally came. My bride and I waited outside for Uncle John to rejoin us.
Oh, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it would happen on one afternoon I take off?
Something wrong?
Wrong. Wait till the papers get hold of this.
Uncle John, what's happened?
$1 million robbery, that's what, in broad daylight.
Oh, no, where?
I think all I've got to do is stand here and... where's my car?
Good luck, Uncle John.
Yeah, good luck.
We'll look you up the first day we're back for my honeymoon.
Speaking of honeymoons, Mrs. Willard.
Mrs. Willard. Oh, darling, isn't everything perfect?
My sentiments, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Willard, stop kissing my niece and open the luggage compartment of your car.
Huh?
You heard me. Open the luggage compartment of your car.
But, Uncle John, I...
Stop calling me Uncle John. I'm Captain Dorsey of the robbery detail, and don't you forget it.
I assure you I haven't for a moment.
Well, are you going to open the luggage compartment of your car?
Uncle John, you're being simply awful. All you have to do is tell Bart why.
I've got a flat tire, that's why. And my tire jack is broken.
Captain, the most amazing coincidence, my tire jack won't work either.
Oh, no.
Why don't you just hop into a cab?
Cab, nothing. I'm taking your car.
Viewing it objectively, the situation was almost amusing. Here was Captain Dorsey roaring off to investigate a million-dollar robbery, and in the luggage compartment of the car he was driving reposed the $1 million. But I confess I wasn't enjoying the joke as of the moment. I was far too intent on getting the captain's tire fixed and then returning his car to him so that I could retrieve my own.
What is this place, Bart?
Oh, you know, the outfit that was robbed. Hyperion Payroll Service, I think they call it. They said at headquarters we'd find Uncle John here.
Oh. Oh, look, there's your car.
Yeah, yeah. Now, why don't you run inside and give Uncle John his keys and get mine, huh?
I'm going to get even with Uncle John for being such a meanie on my wedding day. You go.
Look, my sweet, they're investigating a holdup in there. If I were to walk inside, well, they might start asking me questions.
You mean before you were able to explain you only came to trade keys with Uncle John?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a laugh? Especially if someone thought he recognized you as one of the holdup men. Those things happen sometimes, you know.
Yes, I know.
I'm almost tempted.
Except, of course, that it might affect our honeymoon.
Hey, that's different. You give me those keys.
Here you are.
I'll be right back.
Uh-oh.
What?
Look who's coming.
Uncle John.
Oh, you barely caught me. About to leave for headquarters with this fellow.
Hello, Willard.
Do I know you?
Name is Cove. Eddie Cove.
Cove? No, no, that doesn't ring any bell.
Not even a burglar alarm?
Uncle John, who is this person?
Our number one suspect, that's who.
That's what you say.
You've got nothing to say because you've got no alibi.
If you ask me, Uncle John, he doesn't look smart enough to steal all that money.
Ah, you hear that, Captain? Now, Willard, he looks smart enough.
We're wasting time. Where are those keys?
Here you are, darling.
Thanks for the use of your car, Willard. Sorry I chewed your ears off.
Quite all right, Uncle John. Coming wise?
Let's go, husband.
Dorsey, you fool! Don't let him get away! He pulled the job and framed me for it! Yeah, it all adds up!
Look, Cole!
He's one of the shrewdest operators on the loose, I tell you. Ask him where he was at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
The captain doesn't have to ask me. He knows I was at the chapel waiting to get married.
Oh, yeah?
So there.
As for your reflections on my character, they can only be dismissed as preposterous. Since this is my wedding day, I even find it in my heart to forgive you. You did say your name was Cove?
Captain Dorsey.
Well, Sergeant?
They found the other guy.
What other guy?
They pulled the job. Ames, remember him?
Where?
In the park with a bullet in him. But he's still breathing.
How could I have been so incredibly stupid as to rush off without making sure that Ames was dead? Yes, and now what if he came to long enough to speak my name? This assuredly had not been one of my calculated risks. Again, panic boiled up within me. And as my bride and I drove away to start our honeymoon, it was all I could do to keep from jamming my foot down on the accelerator.
Know something, husband?
Huh?
You are going to get a ticket if you don't slow down.
Oh.
Know something else, husband? I have the distinct impression that I am talking to myself.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Cigarettes, I said. Over and over.
What about cigarettes?
The usual.
Oh, but you can't be out. Uncle John bought you a pack.
I left it in his car, I guess.
Oh, Karen.
You mean you forgot to bring me some?
Look, I'll get them later.
Why want them now?
Please, Karen.
Well, all you have to do is stop someplace.
But I don't want to stop.
Oh? So that's the way it is.
What's the way what is?
Just because we're married.
Karen, you don't understand.
Well, don't I? Then quit acting as if I was suddenly farthest from your thoughts.
All right. First chance I get.
There, that drugstore on the corner. Well?
It was as I was coming out of the drugstore with a carton of cigarettes under my arm that I saw the police car. It pulled up to the curb. two officers got out. Faintly, I could hear their two-way radio. It wasn't hard for me to imagine what it was saying. Ames had talked. So it was all over now, unless...
That's when I started shooting.
Bart! Bart!
The only way, Karen, the only way.
Look out!
Well, Uncle John, that's the whole story.
No, Willard, not the whole story.
You mean about Karen? What?
Can't you guess?
No.
And another thing. You didn't calculate the biggest risk of all, the risk of losing your head.
Oh?
That radio car. The only reason it stopped was because you were in the no parking zone.
Then... But Ames...
He died without ever regaining consciousness.
Vincent?
Now, wait a minute, Herb. Before you start telling me I was terrific, just remember that a play's only as good as its cast. I'm talking about Betty Lou Gerson, Ted Von Eltz, Ed Max, Byron Kane, and Jerry Hausner. Thanks, fellas.
Thank you, Vincent. In just a moment, I'm going to introduce Mr. Wendell Corey, the star of next week's play. And now, here is Norman Brokenshire.
Thank you, Herb. An exciting story. You know, neighbors, when you're sniffling and sneezing with one of those nasty colds, and a headache teams up with that cold, you can really be miserable. Well, when that happens to you, just reach for that familiar blue bottle of Bromo Seltzer. Refreshing Bromo Seltzer helps the pain of your headache in short order. And when you've helped your headache, it's a lot easier to face anything else you're up against. The proper rest and following your doctor's advice will take care of that cold. That's why these wintry days, Bromo Seltzer is such a friend in need to smart people everywhere. That's why thousands are turning to Bromo Seltzer for headache help. It fights a headache fast and effectively these three ways. Bromo Seltzer gives you speedy help for the headache pain itself. Bromo Seltzer soothes your upset stomach by neutralizing excess stomach acidity, and it calms those jittery, jangled nerves. As for speed, just compare the amazing speed of Bromo Seltzer's effervescence with that of any product in tablet form you've ever tried. So remember, when you've got a cold, don't let headache pain add to your misery. Get fast, effective help for your headache with Bromo Seltzer. Yes.
Fight headache three ways. Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
Vincent Price can soon be seen co-starring with Jane Russell and Robert Mitchum in the RKO production, His Kind of Woman. Tonight's play was written especially for Mr. Price by Maurice Zim, with music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. And now here is the star of next week's thrilling story on Hollywood Star Playhouse, Mr. Wendell Corey.
I'm not a killer, Herb. I never have been, I swear it. But listen, from the minute they found the body, I didn't have a chance. Because they knew that I not only had time to kill, but I had time to kill.
Time to kill sounds like a honey for next week, Wendell. Thank you. On tonight's program, all characters and incidents were fictitious. Any similarity to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Portions of this program were transcribed. And now this is Herbert Rawlinson saying goodnight for all of us here on the Hollywood Star Playhouse. And for Bromo Seltzer, the fast, effective headache help in the familiar blue bottle. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.